Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Home in Progress, sponsored by Repco Light Paints and Benjamin Moore. And today I've got a really interesting show that I put together. Back in February, we're just going to jump right in because there's a lot of stuff to cover. Back in February, the Kitchen and Bath Industry Show, KBiz, took over Las Vegas with some of the biggest names in design and innovation. More than 43,000 people came through, nearly 700 exhibitors, and it was all part of Design and Construction Week, which drew in over 124,000 visitors total. Now, I wasn't there, but my guest was. Designer Andy Yates is here in the studio to help us unpack what he saw at KBiz 2025. Andy, welcome back.
Thank you, Dan. It is great to be back. I appreciate the chance to talk about one of the largest market segments in the interiors and home remodeling industry, which is kitchens and bathrooms.
Yeah, so paint the scene for us. You know, what was it like being at something like that at KBiz this year? You know, the size, the energy, the atmosphere.
So I do need to correct you and state that I was not able to attend this year.
You weren't
actually
there.
Correct. I was not able to make it to Vegas in the winter. I was in Mexico. Unfortunately, I was on the beach in Puerto Vallarta.
Well, is there somebody that we can talk to who was there?
I can give you.
Can you fake it?
All of the. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Andy's going to fake it.
Or you can just edit it out that I wasn't there.
No, I think that's hilarious. I'm not going to edit that out. We live honestly, Annie.
Yeah.
Andy, and I make a lot of mistakes.
Authentically.
So I'm willing to own that.
Yeah, I will say that the early bird ticketing for 2026 KBiz actually has been extended through October, and I'm looking at the dates thinking, I will go to Vegas this winter.
All right. So you're going to make the next one.
Yes, yes. But I keep my finger on the pulse of what's happening because it is such an important part of my business specifically, but also the business of home in general. Like I mentioned, a multi-billion dollar industry that really does precipitate into every human's life. It's everyone eats, everybody poops, right? Everyone has a bathroom, everyone has a kitchen, essentially most people, or access to one that they use, right?
Yes, yes.
Plus, these are very critical spaces in the home. Generally speaking, when you're not sleeping, the first place you are and the last place you are in your home is in a bathroom, and most, if not all, meals are prepared and eaten in and around a kitchen. So no matter the size of those spaces, they are very critical to the way we live and the way we function, especially because they are spaces so specifically based on human function. Like we take in, we put out, these are where we store food, which we need to survive. There's spaces in our homes where that provide us with water and sanitation. So it's extremely important spaces. And we've always known this, right? The adage in real estate, like kitchens and bathrooms sell houses because they're expensive also to renovate, because they layer in every trade, your plumbers, your electricians, your carpenters, your tile setters. You know, you've got drywallers, you have products that blend water and electricity. So there's safety issues that really don't exist in a place like your den where you chill out, or, you know, your bedroom where you essentially sleep and maybe get dressed. So KBiz is always a very exciting opportunity to see what these industry behemoths, like you said, Delta Brizo, Moen, Kohler, Toto, and the kitchen side, right? Like Wolf, Sub-Zero, Fisher-Paykel, Thermador, all of the appliance brands from, you know, Whirlpool, which we have locally here in Michigan, up to like the international exhibitors, right? Which there are a couple of hundred that came from international markets this year. It is a show that both intends to wow with a lot of flashy, you know, marketing propaganda. So you'll see things that you would see only at a convention like that, that necessarily might not trickle down into daily living.
Sure.
But the show really this year was about sustainability, functionality, technology, and personalization. So we saw all of these confluences happening from every vendor, from every product launch, and every experiential launch there. I guess, too, we'll talk about it, but Kohler, who is, you know, based here in the Midwest, a global juggernaut in this industry, they had an extremely engaging and interesting booth this year. And I think it was rated as the top experience for almost all showgoers. So they really brought it home. And the reason being is that they really kind of hit all of the trends and the influences of the industry. So they had technology, right? These are voice-activated showers and toilets, things that are enabled with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So
voice-activated shower and toilet.
Yeah. Like,
turn on now. I want the water, whatever degrees. Flush the toilet now. What am I talking to my toilet for?
Right. Smart technology
But
is
why am I talking
future.
To my toilet? What am
well,
I saying?
So you're essentially...
Like a therapist? It's been a busy day today. It's been...
Maybe.
I don't know how I'm going to get through it.
You know, with the advent of AI and these language models that people are using as friends and therapists...
Well, have a seat, Dan. Let's talk this through.
A seat and talk to your shower about your problems. It's cathartic and maybe healing in some way, you know, those spaces where we rejuvenate and regenerate. And so with like smart toilet technology, it's able to tell you, first of all, keeping track of the mechanics of, let's say, your plumbing fixtures to see if anything's wrong, monitoring water pressure, water.
My toilet's doing that
temperature.
For me?
Yeah. So these smart toilets would inevitably be able to tell you if there's a leak in the tank. These toilets are also, the technology in a toilet is a little different because it's more about the functionality of having a heated seat, having a toilet that's sanitized with UV light every night. Having, you know, bidet functions for cleanliness, having the ability to, you know, not have to touch it. So auto seat lifting, auto flushing. We saw this in, you know, a lot of shower technology released from companies where you can, in the morning, preset your shower to come on at the exact time you want, at the exact temperature, if you need to. Jump into the shower quickly. You can tell your phone as you're driving home, you know, hey, phone. I won't say the name so our phones don't talk to us. You can say like, hey, smart intelligence, turn on the shower for Dan or, you know, spouse A, spouse B, run a bath for the kids, right? All of these ways in which having these fixtures and appliances in the kitchen at our disposal immediately to help us run and organize our lives. Most of these companies would say better, more efficiently, easier, less stressful, right? What technology is supposed to do.
So the Kohler booth was just nailed.
So that Kohler booth, they really nailed it. And they weren't the only ones by any means. But I will say they, to sort of use it as a microcosm of what's happening. So they really hit all of the themes, right? They have that integration of a lot of smart technology. And again, so do all of the others. Toto, Brizo, the major appliance brands on the kitchen side, right, are having your refrigerator monitor your temperature in all of the zones. Refrigerators with cameras are introduced.
Cameras showing the inside?
Yes.
So I can see what's inside without opening the door? Or is there
Correct.
More to it than that?
Correct. You can see how much of a certain ingredient or produce or beverage you have without opening the refrigerator. It will not only monitor the temperature of all of your zones, but, you know, it would visually see... if you are like getting low on something, it can tell you. It's fascinating. Some of the refrigeration systems, similarly with cooking systems, I think there was I don't remember the exact brand, unfortunately, one manufacturer had placed a camera in the oven so you don't have to have a glass door. You don't have to crouch down if it's under counter. You don't have to open it to look at the temperature of your food.
I can sit in the living room in my recliner and check the phone, I'm assuming.
Put the casserole in, stick the thermometer in it, and walk away. Your oven will tell you. You can check in on it at any time. You can see if it's bubbling and ready to go. You know, if you want to set the timer for a couple of more minutes, you don't have to get up. You don't have to stop what you're doing. You can Netflix and chill and let your dinner bake itself, essentially.
Wow.
So there's a lot of integrated technology, which was huge this year. But that real big picture of everything was like, we see technology, and much like we've discussed recently for this Colors of the Year palette, we also saw a lot of shift toward warm, rich, natural colors. Like the color of the year for 2025 is until they announce it on October 16th, if that hasn't already happened when we air this episode, Cinnamon Slate, right? But the idea of a lot of the colors and materials released at KBIS were that they were natural, copper making a huge comeback, but natural earthy materials, white and gray kitchens, the grayness of stainless steel, the stark whiteness of sterile kind of cabinetry and appliances is gone.
Gone.
It's gone. Kohler has reintroduced a lot of the colors, toilets and sinks from like the 40s and 50s. So
I know they did that a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then I think last year they added.
And they're expanding that. Okay. Right. So we've seen that sort of initial reaction to what designers were craving, which I've long been personally like coordinating plumbing fixtures with the color palette of the house. So sometimes white is the right choice for a toilet, sometimes bone, sometimes beige, sometimes black, although rarely. I'm not a fan personally, but if it works, it works. And it's the same with fixtures. So we saw these metal finishes in the last few years shift toward more blacks, gunmetals, right? A kind of darker, more masculine palette. Well, this year now it's like back to warm bronzes, warm golds, warm coppers, oak kitchen cabinets, oak as a natural expression of the species and sort of naturally stained, like honey oak, gold oak. We see that resurgence.
That's resurging?
Yeah, absolutely. And
I knew I kept mine just as they were for a good reason.
Yeah, we saw that in these just really rich, earthy tones and then natural expressions of tones. So like dramatic marbles, not your sort of soft, curated Carreras with a lot of like gray and white. We see the addition of more leather and different kind of like mixed materials. So there's wonderful hardware collections from companies like Bell with Keeler, who's another local company that I personally enjoy using. But even, you know, the large ones like MTech and Colonial Bronze, Ashley Norton. So we see a lot more of these resurgence of people's interest in wood hardware, hardware with leather and textiles, mixed metals. Again, going into those really warm, earthier tones. And we see that in some of the reflections of colors and textures. Again, like thinking about adding textures to areas, specifically fluting, was all over the place, which has been happening for a couple of years now. But
really?
You saw fluting everywhere. So reeded cabinet doors, fluted cabinet doors, fluted panels, all over the place. And colors that were, like I said, earthy, but also jewel tones. Again, maybe for the show in general, but jewel tones are kind of classically never going out of style. They are rich, they are elegant, and they work right in with those warm, natural, earthy palettes. So you saw a lot of rubies and garnets and emeralds. That was essentially the trend of color and material.
Well, Andy, you mentioned a couple of broad themes that you saw in the show. You mentioned sustainability. I can't remember the other ones that you talked about, but what were some of the broader themes that you spotted?
So the overall themes were really about personalization of spaces, sustainability, and an emphasis on quality. So we see that the industry is looking at being more sustainable and focusing less on the idea of fast fill in the blank. So we have like fast food, fast fashion. It's sort of like fast interiors, things that are more inexpensively made, and they're meant to essentially rotate out of your home within 3 to 5 years. It's kind of the hospitality model, right? Like a hotel generally wants to renovate every 3 to 5 years to sort of just stay fresh. Plus, they get a lot of wear and tear. They ultimately need to. But in the home, we see more people, especially younger people, wanting to save their money and invest in high quality products, and then understand that they will have longevity and they will last, and then splurge on items that are really important to them. So instead of rushing through, we see homeowners, builders to some extent as well, looking toward investing in higher quality materials and splurging where they know it's worth it. So we're talking about larger ROIs, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't cook, why have a $10,000 range? Really, why?
Right.
You know, to boil water, you can do that as easily. You
can do that on a real cheap one. I do it every night.
On a very inexpensive basic range, right?
Yeah.
The home chef trend will always exist because there are foodies and cooks and people who are avidly dedicated and loyal to brands, and it's very important for them to understand the intricacies of their appliances and that they do what they need to do. But that plays into the trend, which I won't even say is a trend. I think it's just a return to the idea of personalization. Buying what you want for how you actually live and not becoming susceptible to marketing peer pressure, right? And consumer peer pressure, like the idea that you must have maybe what your neighbor has or your friend has. And again, I say this especially in younger consumers who are less inclined to want to invest in their first home or their first major kitchen or bath renovation using budget as the driving factor. So that's what we talk about in kind of that save and splurge idea. It's like, yeah, I want the shower with all of the tech and with all of the amenities that were so popular this year on another trend, like health and wellness. Like your not just sanitation for health and wellness, but these showers and these baths that give you chromotherapy, aromatherapy, water, different hydrotherapies, food as nutrition, right? And we always say food is love, right? It's the way that many people express, you know, their love for their families and friends and guests, and cooking is more than just preparing food as fuel. And so there's a real emphasis on wellness and how to properly preserve food. And again, in that,
so all of that is coming out. That's what
wellness,
you're seeing.
Nutrition, the emphasis that we have now on like fresher food, you know, farm to table. Well, we have to think about food without a lot of preservatives does not stay preserved as long. So the refrigeration of it, the storage of it, how are companies innovating
to make that,
meet that demand?
Gotcha.
And then how is that food prepared on your range in your oven? People love multifunctional appliances. So having just renovated my kitchen last year, I am lucky enough to have a relationship locally with Beacons, and I worked with Fisher-Paykel for all of my appliances. And I have what one could say generically is a microwave, but ultimately they call it a speed oven, and it has 27 different cooking settings. It convects, it microwave cooks, it aerobakes. So you have one appliance that can replace 4 to 5 small appliances. You know, I have an oven similarly, right, that is also a smart oven, an induction cooktop that has the ability to be like not only a safer way to cook, but very specifically the refrigerator, right, with different zones and temperature settings. And all of this was seen as a trend in home appliances, right? Personalization, a return to wellness, creating fresh foods, cooking fresh foods, storing food properly. That was very important. And it aligns with our return to nature, natural color palette, natural materials, and biophilic design. People wanting to be able to grow their own food at home. There was a whole section of KBiz for like hydroponics and people growing food, let's say growing whatever they want, but we'll say herbs. Okay. Plants that are edible.
Yes.
There was an emphasis on that too, and people wanting to introduce microgreens into their diets. So we see not only the storage and preparation of food, but the actual creation of food
all
for
at this
a family
event.
Yeah, absolutely. And these showers that have all of these spa,
yeah,
almost
the
like paramedical. Features
yeah,
were
it
really
almost
important.
Sounds like the bathroom's a spa now.
Absolutely. And it always has trended that way. I mean, that's sort of the established way of, you know, the luxury market. And what we see available now more readily to homeowners at a better price point, honestly, or save and splurge price point is the shower that can give you steam and can give you water massages. And it really is a space to be well. Again, we've talked about how chaotic and uncertain the world seems to be right now, and everybody's inundated with messaging and marketing and social media, and you're always available on your phone, and people are working from home, but really that just means they're kind of working more and they don't have a space to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Bathrooms are quintessentially spaces of, you know, rejuvenation, relaxation, and wellness in general. It's like cleanse your body, you know, cleanse your mind. And in the kitchen, we see that in people reconnecting with their family and loved ones and just getting their hands dirty, creating something, right? Yes, there's technology there, but it's being used as a tool to enhance that for individuals rather than sort of to be distracting and to try to sell you something.
So when you're talking, what I'm hearing is like cash register bells going off because this just sounds so expensive. Now, I know you mentioned this idea of save and splurge, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, I'll buy the things that really matter to me. I'm going to splurge on those things. I'll save money on some of these other things. So help me just practically think that through in a bathroom. You know, let's say the shower is that item for me. So you're seeing people, or you can envision, have I broken the set? It almost feels like, okay, the shower talks, the toilets could talk, the sinks could do whatever. And that's like a nice little set. Can I get a toilet that's stupid and a shower that's super smart, and it's not going to look weird, feel weird. Everything's going to work together. I'm trying to understand how can I get, like, maybe a better thing would be the toilet, because I know a toilet that does all these things is really, really fancy looking. They don't look like a normal toilet, the ones I've seen.
They can be, yeah.
Oh, they can look like a normal toilet?
Right. So any homeowner right now can purchase a bidet seat to replace the seat they have on their current toilet. Now, you need the parameter being you need to have the electricity properly installed, and it is, there's two types. You would want one that has an integrated heater for the water, for the bidet function, unless you're okay with a cold water bidet, which is
refreshing. I live on
refreshing,
the edge, Andy. Yeah.
Refreshing. But, you know, toilets don't have hot water lines, so you can buy bidet seats that are, I think, just water pressure fed and attach it to your toilet supply line.
Pretty basic stuff.
Pretty
yes.
basic.
Yes.
And just sort of upgrade, right? You can, for example, remove your current kitchen faucet and put in a faucet that is Bluetooth activated, voice activated, touchless for relatively, you know, a low investment, but to have that amenity. If you want to mix and match, of course, there are still lots of options to have, I would say, like unsmart appliances or unsmart
rather
fixtures,
than dumb.
Like dumb, but let's say like mechanical, right?
Yeah,
more
yeah.
Basic in the way that I know some people want to live. Like some individuals,
yeah,
right?
Recoil at the idea.
I don't want a camera in my refrigerator. I don't want a camera in my house, right? I don't need my shower listening to me. I understand that. And not everybody wants the shower that has artificial intelligence built into it with, you know, music and steam and aromatherapy and massage. They'd rather, you know, experience that elsewhere, mm-hmm. or they would like to have those features, but without the smart technology.
No, that makes
which
sense.
Is an opt-in choice. You can disable it on any of these items, you know. And that's, I think, really important too, because there is a balance of privacy and just convenience, right? Of like understanding how much you have to manage on your phone, like all my appliances, all of my plumbing fixtures, my house HVAC
right.
system, my Ring doorbell, my kids'
crazy.
Phones, my car. Like, it will actually add more chaos to a world in which most people are, again, contracting and trying to simplify a little bit more now. So
do you see a lot of people snagging these things up? I mean, are they cool at a show? I think you kind of mentioned that there's aspects of the show that it's for the show.
Right. There's the glitz and glamour and the marketing pizzazz.
Do you see a lot of people snagging these things up? The toilet thing makes sense to me. I understand that. I've stayed at an Airbnb where they had something like that.
Right.
I didn't leave the bathroom.
It's once
just
you
marveled at the toilet.
Once you have a heated toilet seat, I say, right, it's you never go back. You never go back. It's kind of like the things that become expensive luxuries, things that are expensive luxuries, and they were maybe 10, 20 years ago, are now common, right? We are living in a very privileged time where we have the means and technology to give these luxury amenities to almost everyone, right? At a comfortable mid price point. So when you look at how it's kind of integrated into daily life, as you said. So from a practical perspective, these products are researched and developed with substantial investment from these companies over years, actually. So they are popular. They are more popular among some market segments, right? Because they might be. But ultimately, I am seeing so many people more interested in imbuing their plumbing fixtures in the bathroom with color and imbuing these spaces where we do spend so much time that are so critical with this technology, with these features. They are willing to splurge on items that really matter to them. And the reason being is some of the uncertainty in the global markets, in finance, in the world in general, has kept people a little more aware, especially since the pandemic, of what home means and how to be planted and really deeply invested in where you are. So less nomadic, kind of transient lifestyles. We're seeing people plant themselves, their forecasting for longevity in their homes, and they're going to invest significantly in what matters to them, right? Instead of thinking of like fast flip, what is the next? This is one of the things that something that has always infuriated me in my business, where I will meet with a potential client and we will be reviewing their spaces. We're taking a home tour and a comment will be made about resale value, right? And my thought has always been intrinsically, if you're thinking about who the next person living here is, you're not truly living here. If you're worried about having a space that's overly personalized because of resale value, I would question the motivation behind that, because the real estate industry, especially since it's been, you know, it was growing before the recession, but then it started to grow again because it started at a much lower point. I mean, there is a force behind pushing people to have bigger and better homes, upgrade, 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 upgrade. And if the idea is not to settle in and remodel what you have now and make it yours, it is like, always look for the next big thing, right? And that pressure that we feel, which I think is just like not to be too philosophical about it, right? But sort of like the idea of this like end stage capitalism. It's like bigger, better, more, more, more. We saw that with monster houses, houses that have become commonplace in neighborhoods that are 10, 12, 14,000 square feet. The contraction that I'm talking about, right, from that excess is having people in their homes, not thinking about resale, not thinking about what's next, but actually
but just living there.
Being present
yeah.
and saying, I want to personalize this space for me and my family because I'm willing to invest in that. And I'm not worried about the next person who may or may not own this house because someone, a buyer, will love it. And if they don't, they'll do exactly what I did. They'll personalize this space in their own way. And that is a force in interiors right now that is in all of the color trends we see, all of the kitchen and bath industry products and innovations. Like the concept of designing for someone else is almost so passé right now. It's offensive, I would say, to some people, right? Like,
I like that. I think that's great. Design for us, you know, pick things that you like rather than,
right?
Because we'll talk to people about colors and it's the same thing. You know, they want a color that's going to be acceptable for another buyer. Now, I get it if you're literally in the position where you're getting the house ready to sell, of course. But if you're not at that point, and sometimes, you know, you talk to the people and they're not. I've made the same thing. I've thought the same thing. Is this a color that other people will like if I sell the house? And then I've caught myself and I said, well, are you thinking about selling the house? And no, I'm really not.
Right.
So why am I doing this? Why don't I pick something that I truly like and make the most of the time that I'm in this house, however long that is, by enjoying it to its fullest extent,
correct,
rather than designing for somebody else, and not just somebody else, but some vague other buddy, you know, other somebody
yeah.
else.
You have no idea what their tastes are, what their functionality requirements are. Essentially, like you said, Dan, if you are a short-term real estate investor, if you know that you're going to own a property for a limited amount of time, it's, you know, prudent not to over-invest in that. If you are, you know, leveraging it as an investment strategy. That is a really kind of, again, I say like very, very specific, very niche, very like privileged place to be with people. I mean, it got out of control, right? With like flipping houses, let's flip houses, let's be landlords. Like, and then you actually understand what it means to work in that industry and to be a landlord. And so many
I don't want anything to do with this anymore.
Have said, oh, I don't need to own four houses. Like, this is too much.
I have all I can do with a house and a shed.
Right.
A little shed in the back and
yeah.
So that's enough for me.
If you, and this is I think this is just a trend in like our society in general of people who are stretched too thin and stressed out beyond their capacity and capability to function, right? So the shift to less is more, again, better quality. That's very prevalent in the break in like 40 and over versus 40 and under. Maybe it's like the millennial down to Gen Z. Yes, everyone is always going to be sort of impulsively interested in like fast fashion. Like, oh, I'm going to buy that bracelet. I'm going to buy those shoes. Maybe I'll change up my car every 3 years because they innovate and change so rapidly. But when it comes to a significant investment like a kitchen remodel or a bathroom remodel, a home remodel, or building a custom home, you know, we see them now smaller, smarter, more personalized, and reflective of the actual needs of the individual and the family, not of some as yet unknown future buyer.
Right.
Well, and if it's paint, I mean, that's the easiest thing to do when you sell your house, right? Depersonalize, move out at least 30% of your stuff, clean it, please clean it, and paint everything beige.
I love what you're talking about. I love where this industry, KBiz, was pointing, is the idea that, first off, just thinking about these two spaces, kitchen and baths, as how important those spaces are. You know, I think, You said it at the beginning. We understand that to some extent, that these are key spaces in our home. But I don't think we think about them as we don't put them on the level that they really are at. You know, these are critical spaces in our home to get right, to focus on, to splurge in when we need to. And I love the idea of saving and splurging. You know, I'm not going to buy that crazy big stove because I'm going to just boil water, but I'm going to put that money into, oh, this amazing toilet. We're going to have some great times, this toilet and I. You know, that kind of a thing. Just building these spaces for, you know, just the... Oh, what do you want to even say? The mental health is the wrong word, but
it's
just the
like
calm.
The wellness is the sort of idea.
Yes, I love that.
There's like a wellness industry that is, again, like the grift of snake oils and supplements that is, you know, white noise. Ignore it. It's all marketing. But true, honest wellness, right, is what are you eating and how are you functioning every day in these spaces that are so critical? I mean, how do you... I think the four most important places in a home, you know, when I talk to clients and when I stop and think about it, really, it's like, okay, like your kitchen and your bathroom, they are incredibly important. Invest in a very good mattress and bed sheets because we sleep a third of our lives. And if you don't have great sleep, it will slowly kill you. I mean, there's so many repercussions. And a good chill space, right? Like a den, a living room, whatever. But, you know, it's again, like you sleep in your bed. The first place you go is to your bathroom to prepare for your day. And that sets a tone.
To weep. Weep in front of the sink.
Potentially. Some. You know, it's like that's why the energy there needs to be appropriate for like getting you ready for the day. What I love about a lot of the technology in bathrooms, this is... related to KBiz, but it's lighting, right? So I have in my bathroom my sconces set to be at like 4,000 K in the morning. I want a bright blue wake you up light. It's energetic. It's functional. You know, it gets into your eyeballs and your brain, and you're like waking up better and more energized, and you can see. And then at night, those sconces dim down to like 2700 Kelvin. So they're much warmer. And that's when you go in and you're winding down for the day. And you want the opposite in your bathroom. So having that flexibility of lighting is crucial. And thinking about that in the bathroom space.
Oh, just thinking about that, you know, throwing that out there and designing, making your choices with things like that in mind.
Right, absolutely.
Most of us don't think that way. We're just finding the colors that look good together and, oh, I kind of like that faucet or I like these sconces. There's so much more to think about. And the benefits of thinking that through are just huge. You know, like you said, getting it helps you wake up in the morning. It helps you calm down and wind down at night. You know, we know what our lives are like. Anything that's going to help us, you know, wind down or ramp up as we need to is going to be beneficial. Having that space to kick back, you know, designing that space, that family room, whatever that is, that den, whatever that space is in your home, it's really critical to spend the time and to think it through, to get the right colors, to get the right furniture, to get the right everything, so that you get the most out of that space.
And appliances and fixtures, like kitchens and bathrooms, are expensive rooms by their very nature, right? So when you are considering those things, it's like invest in those spaces and invest in a good mattress, which I will say again. But it's all in the service of what we say, again, wellness. But it's really like living an authentic, purposeful, deeply enriching life wherein you love everything about your space. You love all of the choices that were made, whether that is with a design professional or on your own, using the, you know, myriad of tools that are available to homeowners today. It really is about reflecting inward to yourself and your family. And how do you want to live? What does that feel like, sound like, look like, taste like? You know, all of your senses are engaged. And then you have that as unknown, you know, sixth sense of like experience, right? What is the energy of that space? And does it support or detract from your goals and values?
So many things to think about. And, you know, that's one of the perfect reasons to bring a designer in to consult with somebody as you're making some, because these are expensive changes that you're making to your home. And
they
if
are.
You're making this consideration, and you know that, like I said, it's expensive, but it can be money that's maybe not invested is the wrong word, because you know maybe you don't get what you want out of it when you resell it. That's not what I'm talking about. The investment part is that I'm living better.
It absolutely
because of these things and putting all of this together the right way, and talking with somebody who thinks this through. You know, you've been thinking this through way longer than I have. If I'm going to start doing that in my home, I want to talk to somebody who's going to help me make the wisest decision, not just me dipping my toe into an industry now. And what's going to happen to me is I'm going to start looking. I'm going to snatch the few, you know, the couple of things that I can afford, let's be real, but the things that catch my interest. Whereas if I'm talking to a professional, it's very likely that you're going to help me steer myself away from the first glitzy things that caught my eye to the things that are really going to matter, because you're going to dig into who
right.
I am and what I need. If our listeners do want to reach out to somebody like you, you know, Andy, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, I thank you for the endorsement, Dan. Yes, it is. It's a very complex, layered and nuanced process to design a home properly. And I love what I do. So if anybody would like to speak to me about their project, they can find me on all the socials at Andy Yates Design and my website, andyyatesdesign.com. I'm based in West Michigan, but I travel pretty much all over the country working on homes and businesses. So that is how they can reach out to me.
All right. I'll put links in the show notes. You can check out Andy's website and all the socials and all of that. Andy, I love sitting down and talking to you. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
I love it too, Dan. You're very welcome. Thank you for having me back on the show. I hope it was engaging and inspiring for the listeners today, and everybody has a takeaway.
They better. That's what we demand of them.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they learned something new.
I'm sure there is something in there. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, now I want to shift gears dramatically and answer a listener question about painting outside. Can he still sneak a project in even though we're partway through November? We're going to get to that right after this. Home in Progress is brought to you by Repco Light Paints and Benjamin Moore. Top-tier paint, expert advice. Your next project is way easier than you think it's going to be. Welcome back. You're listening to Home in Progress, sponsored by Repco Light Paints and Benjamin Moore. And we're going to end today's show with a great question from a listener. Late this week, a listener emailed me about trying to sneak in a last-minute fall project, right? We've all got them. You know, we've all got these last-minute projects we'd love to see done. And this person reached out and explained he's got some window trim that he needed to get scraped and painted before winter, but he didn't make it all the way around the house. And so he's got, at this point, several windows where he's scraped all the old paint off. You know, he's gotten everything down to bare wood, but he's wondering if he's going to be able to get these things painted before the season ends. He's basically worried about the temperatures. Is it too cold to paint? And while the temperatures are definitely a valid concern, moisture is actually the bigger issue here. You know, when you're dealing with bare wood in the fall, moisture is a huge enemy. It's a huge enemy all the time, but it's a little trickier to deal with in the fall. You know, morning dew, unexpected drizzle, all of those things end up soaking into that exposed wood. And, you know, here's the thing. The paint needs a dry surface to properly adhere and form a protective film. If you try to paint over damp wood, you're really, really, really setting yourself up for peeling, bubbling, you know, poor adhesion, a host of all kinds of problems down the road. So before you even think about opening a paint can, that bare wood needs to be completely dry. And we're not talking surface dry. It needs to be dry through and through. And I know that's not fun to hear, but that's just the way it is. Depending on conditions, that might mean that you've got to wait a full sunny day or more after any moisture exposure. But that's just the breaks. That's how it works in the fall. So keep an eye on that. That moisture is a big issue. Keep an eye on that. Now, let's get to the temperature worries, because they're legitimate too. The good news, though, with the temperature is that all of the exterior water-based products that we carry at Repco Light can handle temperatures down to 36 degrees. But here's the catch. There's always a catch. Here's the catch with that. We're talking about both air and surface temperature. You know, the dark trim that you've got in direct sunlight, you know, even though it's 40 degrees out, that dark trim in direct sunlight is probably going to be warmer than the air. And then conversely, the north-facing window that's in the shade, it's probably going to be cooler than the air. So for best results, you're going to want to aim for both air and surface temperatures that stay above 40 degrees for at least 24 hours after you paint. Now, I know the cans will say 36 degrees, sometimes lower than that, but 40 is ideal if you want reliable results. So again, both surface and air temperatures should be about 40 degrees or more for at least 24 hours after you paint. Now, if you're determined to try to get this job done in the late fall, or any project like this, any exterior painting that you're just bound and determined you're going to get done in the fall, there is a product that you really need to be aware of, and it could save the project. It's Benjamin Moore's Element Guard. Talked about it a ton of times, but this paint is specifically designed for fall conditions, you know, and early spring conditions. You know, it can handle low temperature and all of that, but it also offers extreme early moisture resistance. So we're talking moisture resistant, you know, a moisture resistant paint film just 60 minutes after application. The surface still needs to be dry before you apply it. Element Guard isn't a silver bullet in that regard. But if there happens to be a sudden pop-up rain shower or anything like that, you know, heavy dew, you know, anything like that, Element Guard is going to handle that moisture better than pretty much any other paint out there. So just tuck that away in the back of your mind. If you're trying to sneak in any late season or early season painting exterior-wise, Element Guard is going to be a really nice safety net. All right, with all of that said, let's assume the conditions are favorable for painting. If that's the case, here's your painting window. You're going to want to start mid-morning, so around 11 o'clock or so. That's going to give the dew time to evaporate and the surface time to warm up. And then you're going to want to wrap up, you know, everything, you know, get everything wrapped up by early afternoon, probably around 4 o'clock or so. And that's going to give the paint time to cure a little bit before evening temps drop and the moisture returns. Now, last thing I'll say, and it's just to be realistic, sometimes the weather just isn't going to cooperate at this time of year. Now, if you've got bare wood out there that you can't get painted this season, it's still going to be best to find a way to protect it. And maybe that means you just do everything you can to get a primer coat on the wood. That's going to provide critical protection through the winter, and then you can always clean it up and apply your top coat in the spring. All right, if you're in the middle of a project, inside or outside, and you run stuck or you've got a question, reach out to your nearest Repco Light. We're going to get you the answers that you need, and we'll help you work out a plan so you can get through the project. And if you have a question like that, you know, something that you're struggling with, trying to figure out, shoot that question to me at radio@repcolight.com. And if I use it on the air like I did just now, you can get some free paint out of that. I'll give you a free gallon of paint if I use your question on the air. So any paint question, any varnishing question, any staining question, you know, anything you got, throw it my way. radio@repcolight.com. If I use it on the air, you get free stuff, and that's pretty good. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Home in Progress. If you liked what you heard, consider sharing the show with a friend. And also consider leaving us a review. That helps other people find the show, and that really helps us out. If you're not a subscriber, you can find the show wherever you get your podcasts and hit subscribe, and then you'll never miss an episode. All right, for Home in Progress, I'm Dan Hansen. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.